John chapter 4, if you find your place, please stand. We're going to read two verses, verse 23 and 24. The Bible says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." What a wonderful truth right there. That could be a sermon. "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." That's good. Verse 24, "God is a spirit," capital S. "And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for your word. And Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about you tonight. We're going to talk about who you are and what you do. And we want to invite you to our service tonight. And we pray that you'd be here amongst us. And we know you are, but we just want to let you know that you're invited. We pray that you'd work in our hearts tonight. And help us, Lord, as we leave this place to be better for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Holy Guest. You see, all through Scripture, God has dealt with man yet in different ways. If we go back to the Old Testament, we find that God appeared to man in the form of fire. God appeared to man in the form of clouds. God appeared to man in the form of angels and many other ways. When the tabernacle was built in the wilderness, the Lord's presence came in the form of a cloud. He stayed in the Holy of Holies. The high priest of Israel were the only ones once a year that were allowed to go into the very presence of God. When the temple was dedicated by Solomon, again the Lord descended to the temple, and his presence was continually there until corruption and outward religious form caused the Lord to depart from the temple. And what a sad day when we read in the Old Testament about where the child was named Ichabod, meaning the glory has departed. But yet God, his glory, he dealt with man in that way. And then in New Testament times, Christ came and, of course, was born of the Virgin Mary. And it was prophesied by Isaiah that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And for that 33 and a half year time period, God dealt with man in the presence of his very son that walked the earth. Now, some people may say that would have been the greatest time where God worked with man and appeared to man when he was here physically. But you know what? Not according to Jesus, that wasn't the greatest time. You see, Jesus said that there was going to come one greater than him or equal with him, and it was expedient that he depart because the Comforter could not come until he was gone. Jesus said it's better that I send my spirit than that I'm here physically with you on this earth. Now, that's kind of backward from what we would think. I mean, how many times would it be so amazing to you've thought to yourself, man, if Jesus were just here in the person and I could hear it from his lips that things were going to be okay. But yet that's not how God chooses to reveal himself to us in the day and age that we are living. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Why? Because our bodies are the temple or the dwelling place of God. And God deals with us in the day and age we're living in through the Holy Ghost or through the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I want to talk about him a little bit tonight. And I don't know about you, but I know that my relationship with the Holy Spirit could be better. Amen. And, you know, it's kind of funny as you begin to do certain things for the Lord and as a preacher, God gives you sermons. God has a funny sense of humor because before, a lot of times, as you're trying to preach a message, God wants you to live out a message. Amen. And that's especially true when it comes to this thing about the Holy Spirit of God. Let me just say this tonight, folks, and I'm preaching this, teaching this as much as for myself and as for your benefit. I realize there's no way in the world I can accomplish what God's called me to do without the power of the Holy Spirit. Will not happen. And I realize that. And because I realize that, this has been on my heart lately, because I don't have all the answers. I don't know all that God's going to do. I mean, I've got a vision. I've got a burden for how he's going to work down in Princeton. And I really feel like he's going to do something. But you know what? The only way that's going to happen is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, it's been on my heart. You see, the Holy Spirit, He gives wisdom, He gives power, He gives peace. And there's so many benefits and there's so many things that come from the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us that in several different places of Scripture, we can see different aspects of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, we see the incoming of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, we see the indwelling of the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, 18, the infilling of the Spirit. And in 1 John 2, 27, the instruction by the Spirit. And let me just say this, folks. In the day and age we're living in, God wants to deal with us through His Holy Spirit. Think about this for a minute, okay? When the rapture of the church takes place, when the believers go, the Holy Spirit goes. Okay? And God will then again deal with His people, Israel, and deal with this earth the way He dealt with them in Old Testament times. We are a unique generation. You know why? Out of all the times where God's ever dealt with man, the church age is the only age where God deals with us through His Spirit as far as the way He does. He indwells us. He literally lives inside of us. Do you realize God lives inside of you? You realize that? Amen. You know, we say we believe that, but I'm afraid we don't live like that, do we? Because here's where the conviction started coming in my life. If I realized that God lived in me, I probably wouldn't look at some of the things that sometimes I find myself looking at. Not that I on purpose try to look at bad things, but you know, sometimes as a Christian, you let your eyes wander where they shouldn't sometimes. And the conviction begins to set in because you know why? When I take these eyes and maybe I see something I shouldn't, guess what? Guess who also sees that? The Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes my ears will hear things they shouldn't hear. And guess who else hears that? The Holy Spirit of God. If we would get an understanding of that, is that the fact that God lives in us, that would help transform our lives. Yes, it would. I promise you it would. The places we go, the things we do, God does that with us because He's living inside of us. So tonight I want to give you three aspects of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to challenge your hearts tonight about your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because if you're saved, He's inside of you, and you have a relationship with Him. Now, your relationship could be on many levels with the Holy Spirit. I mean, all the way from the fact that you've quenched Him, He's not talking to you anymore, or all the way to the fact that you're very sensitive to His leading. And more than likely, all of us are somewhere in between, all right? And I want to encourage us tonight. I want to encourage myself, and I want to encourage you about your relationship to the Holy Spirit of God. And we're going to do that by talking about different aspects of the Holy Spirit. Kind of do a survey of the types of things that He does, all right? So number one, let's talk about the personal actions of our holy guest. All right? The personal, what does He do? Okay? We know He lives in us, but what does He do as He lives in us? Okay? Now, I'm going to give you several things. We won't spend a lot of time on every one of these, but if you want to write them down, you can begin numbering. There's several of them, all right? Number one, He speaks. All right? The Holy Spirit speaks. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You see, they knew exactly what He wanted and where they wanted them to go. You know why? Because He spoke to them. And let me just say this, church. God the Holy Spirit still speaks in 2016. He speaks. My question to you is this. Do you hear Him? Can you hear Him speaking to you now? You see, in my life, let me tell you how it works in my life. Let me tell you when the Holy Spirit really speaks, okay, how I experience Him. Number one, I really feel Him speak anytime I expose myself to the Word of God. Whether it's personal reading, whether it's studying, whether it's hearing preaching, I hear, I feel. I'm going to use that word, all right? I'm not going to let the Pentecostals steal away what it means to feel the Holy Spirit. Because let me say this. Let me tell you how I describe it, okay? I feel, here's what I say. I feel Him burning inside of me. Right now, as I'm preaching the Word of God, I feel the Holy Spirit burning inside of me. Now, that's not some weird charismatic feeling, all right? It's the Holy Spirit of God, Okay, so number one, I hear him speak as I expose myself to the Word of God. I also hear the Holy Spirit speak to me as I interact with other Spirit-filled Christians. As I've been traveling around, meeting many different people, and by the way, church, I'm just saying this. I've enjoyed this deputation process. I've enjoyed being able to go places and meet different people and be in many great... Listen, there is still hope for America. You know why? Because there's churches just like ours scattered across this nation. Amen. I promise you that's true. All right? And here's also what I found out. They're not always mega big churches either. They're small congregations that are the salt and light of their communities, doing what God wants them to do, and that's the only reason why God hasn't wiped America off the map yet. Because there's enough salt and there's enough light. There's a lot of good people scattered across. Now, is there enough? There's never enough. But I say there's got to be enough salt and light, because why hasn't the judgment fallen yet? It's going to, but not yet. All right, there's a lot of good folks out. But as I've been traveling around, meeting these people, talking with them, not just pastors, but good, faithful church members, as I interact with them, I begin to talk to them. You know what I feel? I feel the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart. Amen? So let me just say this. The Holy Spirit speaks. All right? And if it's been a long time since you've heard him talk, it's not his problem, it's your problem. It's my problem. Let me tell you what helped me turned my life around since I was a teenager. I went through a period in my teenage years where I become to be rebellious. I was hanging around a wrong influence in my life, and I got to a point, and I remember to this day, I probably was 15 years old. Pastor took us to the Bill Rice Ranch, and I remember going to the Bill Rice Ranch and sitting through the preaching, and here's what God used to get my attention. I sat through the preaching that week, and God never spoke to my heart one time, and it scared me. Because, hey, I grew up in this church, all right? I knew what it was to feel God speak to me. I mean, I remember as a young man, the age of these boys sitting right down here this morning, sitting in these church pews and God speaking to my heart. I remember those things. And when I went to that church camp and I sat through those messages and God never spoke to me, that's what God used to get my attention. And finally, he did speak and say, hey, dummy, you haven't been listening to what I've been saying, and because you've tuned me out. And God used that to get my life back on track. And hey, I haven't been perfect. I've made a lot of mistakes since then. But may I say this, there's never been a time since that time he hasn't spoken to me and I haven't heard him. Amen? So the Holy Spirit speaks. We need to listen. Amen? By the way, you're not going to hear him with your physical ears. You got to listen. He speaks to our heart. Amen? So he speaks. Number two, not only does he speak, he testifies. John 15:26, the Bible says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And let me tell you what the Holy Spirit, he's not here to testify of himself. He is here to testify of Jesus Christ. And he is the one that speaks to and testifies of Christ. While a lot of people are out there today testifying of themselves, lifting themselves up, hey, the Holy Spirit is here to testify of Christ. Amen? And that's what he does. He testifies of Jesus Christ. Number three, he teaches. He teaches. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. By the way, Jesus said a lot of things to his disciples. Humanly speaking, it would have been impossible for them to remember everything Jesus said. But you know what? Jesus gave them something to help them. He gave them the Comforter. And part of the Holy Spirit's job is to teach. Amen? Once again, if you're not... If he's not teaching you much, it's not his problem, it's our problem. We're not allowing him to teach us. By the way, what does he use to teach us from? And what he uses? He uses the Word of God. So if you don't have a relationship with the Word of God, he's not going to teach you much. He's not going to teach you anything from watching reality TV. Okay? That's not his classroom, amen? Okay, he's not going to teach you much from the readers. I don't even buy anybody read Reader's Digest anymore. All right, I don't know. The comic books, whatever. All right. But hey, he wants to teach you something from the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I don't understand everything I read in the Bible. Okay, you know what I need? I need a teacher. By the way, I've got one. Amen. I've got one. Hey, by the way, he doesn't want to just teach the pastor. Okay? I hope you don't just get all your nourishment from the Bible from your church services. Amen? Imagine how weak you would be if you only ate four times a week. Now, would you survive? You would survive. But you wouldn't have much energy. You wouldn't be worth much. You'd be cranky. Amen? Because that's what I do. I get cranky when I get hungry. Amen? All the men testify. All right? All the wives testify. All right? Hey, it's the same way at the Word of God. If you're only getting four meals a week from the Word of God, you're a pretty weak Christian. You're not growing much. Amen? You got to feast on this thing, and the Holy Spirit wants to teach you things from the Word of God. Here's another fair question. What did he teach you today? Did he teach you anything? I mean, if you had to every morning or every day at the end of the day write down something that the Holy Spirit taught you, could you do that? By the way, I'm not talking about spending 2 hours a day studying the Bible. Most people don't have time for that. But I'm talking about your daily nourishment from the Word of God. What did he teach you? By the way, before you read the Bible, here's what I pray every morning. Holy Spirit, open my eyes of understanding and teach me something as I read your Word today. Teach me something. I mean, hey, I'm right now reading through the Old Testament books of, I think I read this morning through Nahum. Okay? Nahum. The book that talks about the destruction of Nineveh. All right? And it's, but you know, through that, the Holy Spirit still taught me something. Amen? So he is our teacher. Number four, he is our guide. He guides. Listen to this verse, John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, has anyone ever been lost before? Amen? All right? Okay. All right, we've sometimes get lost with our directions. Okay, I remember the time when I was hunting way out in the Stripper Hills out behind my grandpa's house. I was about a mile deep in the hills, and it got dark. And when it gets dark in the Stripper Hills, it gets really dark. And I got turned around, I got lost, and I'm a pretty good outdoorsman, and I have a very good sense of direction, but I was lost. So I sat down, and I kept myself from panicking. And you know, I think Pastor did the exact same thing because he tells this story. It happened to him too. All right, same place, actually. In fact, I was hunting out of his deer stand. He let me hunt out of it that night. And you know how I got out? I saw a security light. I started walking toward the security light, okay? And I finally got out of the woods. I was about a half mile down from where I walked in at, okay? I was lost, all right? And here's the thing. You know what? Sometimes we walk through this life in our spiritual journey, sometimes we get a little lost, don't we? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know every direction I'm supposed to go in my spiritual walk with the Lord. You know what I need? I need a guide. Guess what? I've got one, amen? Got the Holy Spirit. He wants to guide us. Okay, once again, the problem is, it's not that he's not guiding, it's not we're not listening, amen? We don't listen to what he has to say, okay? We blow it off, we want to do our own thing. And most of the time, our hearts are so full of unconfessed sin, we can't even hear him talk to us, okay? But he is our guide. He wants to guide you, all right? There's been times where I've been out on visitation, out soul winning, And I just pray before I go, Holy Spirit, guide me where I'm supposed to go. And lo and behold, just like Brother Ward told the story the other night of the house, you know how many times that's happened to me, circumstances just like that? Several times. You know why? Because I asked the Holy Spirit to guide me. I mean, don't tell me it's coincidence that I just happened to be on that street on that time of that day to catch that person. That's not coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit leading. That's his guiding. Amen? And I don't have time to give you illustrations, but I got about five or six different illustrations where the Holy Spirit has guided me to people and they've been saved. So the Holy Spirit is our guide. Number five, not only that, he leads. Listen to this, Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now listen, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us through this life. Okay, and this is similar to him being our guide, all right, but he wants to be our leader, all right? You've seen the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot, all right? God's not interested in being your co-pilot, amen, all right? Okay, he could care less about being your co-pilot. God's not satisfied with somewhere near the top, you knew that, right? He's not satisfied with somewhere on our top 10 list of priorities, okay? Hey, he ought to be number one. He ought to be the pilot. He ought to be the leader, amen? Now, how does he lead us? He leads us through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to lead you. Why in the world did I sell my house, resign my job, move into a place I've never been before? I still question myself sometimes about that. Why did I do this, God? And he's like, hey, dummy, I led you that way. You're right, you did. And you know what keeps me going this direction? His leading. He's led me that way. Amen? So the Holy Spirit is a leader. He wants to lead. Here's a verse it talks about in Luke chapter 4. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. By the way, sometimes that leading doesn't always go to pleasant places, does it? Okay? But let me make this statement. God's not interested in our comfort. God's interested in His will being accomplished. Amen? And sometimes that leading has to be in the wilderness, has to be in places of temptation, have to be in places of self-denial, just like Christ did. By the way, He was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit led Him to where He was supposed to be. Here's another question for us all. Is He leading you? Amen? Is He leading you? Number six, I like this one. Not only does He lead, He seals. This is a good one. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? It's the day when our faith becomes sight and our old bodies are redeemed and God calls us out of here to be with Him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. That's the day of redemption. Until then, guess what? We are sealed. Man, I like that. These people that want to believe you can lose your salvation, what a miserable existence. Why in the world would you want to believe something like that? All right? Most of them are these high, pious, mightier-than-thou people because the only reason they think they're still saved because they're doing something to keep it. You start talking to most of them. By the way, that's a work salvation. It's exactly what it is. All right? But the Holy Spirit, let me tell you why I'll never go to hell. You know why? Because I'm sealed by the Holy Ghost. All right? I'm sealed by Him. I mean, hey, I hope I don't go out and do something stupid and boneheaded. I hope I don't. I hope I don't go out and blow my testimony. I hope I don't do something where I'd have to step out of the ministry. I pray to God I never do anything like that. But if I did, I'm still going to heaven. Amen. You know why? Because I'm sealed. And the Holy Spirit will seal us once we're saved. You get saved, you get sealed. Amen. Get saved and you get sealed. Number seven, He gives gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And the Holy Spirit of God, part of our job as the body of Christ is to use the gifts that God gives us to help the church. Amen? And everybody is given some type of gift by the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't know what mine is. By the way, let me just say this. Your gift is not to just to warm a pew. Amen? That's not your gift. That's not a gift that He gives. All right? But the Holy Spirit does give gifts. He gives you the ability to accomplish the will of God for your life, whatever that is. All right? And for some, it may be the gift of being a pastor or an evangelist or a teacher. But hey, guys, you guys that are out there working in the world, you know what your gift is? Your gift is the knowledge He's blessed you with to work the job you work so you can reach the people that you're working with. That's a gift. I mean, the trade that I have, my floor covering trade, I was taught that by some men, but through the years, I believe that was a gift that God allowed me to learn to help me in my life. Amen? And so whatever it is, it's not just necessarily a spiritual gift. It could be a physical gift, although I do believe that more Christians want to use the excuse that they don't have a spiritual gift when they really do. I mean, God has given us all something that we can do to accomplish His will for our lives. And you know where that comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Okay? He gives gifts. Number eight, He baptizes. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now this refers to the spiritual baptism into the body of Christ. This is not referring to water baptism, okay? This is referring to the fact that once we're saved, then we all are we're baptized into by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Okay, now, we're not Baptist briars. That means that we don't believe that you have to be a Baptist in order to be saved. Okay? There's going to be a lot of Methodists that are in heaven. Okay? Especially the old school. Okay? Because they were just down the line and straight as many Baptists are. Okay? I mean, I believe that there may even be some Catholics that are in heaven. Now, not if they believe in Mary to get them there or believe in the Pope, but I've talked to some people that claim to be Catholic that have a strong salvation testimony. Now, not all of them, not most of them, okay? You don't have to be a Baptist to go to heaven, all right? But when you are saved, you are baptized into the body of Christ, and when the trumpet sounds and the rapture happens, anyone that's ever been saved will be called out of here to be with the Lord. Why? Because the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. Amen? And so we're not Baptist briars. You don't have to be a Baptist just to go to heaven. Now, do I believe that as a Baptist, are we following the Scripture? And we trace our line all the way back to the beliefs of the early church? Absolutely. That's why I'm a Baptist. Amen. That's why I don't claim to be anything else. I believe as an independent Baptist, I'm not that way, by the way, because of John the Baptist. That's not why we're called Baptist, all right? I don't have time to teach a church history lesson tonight, but that's not why we're called Baptist, all right? We're Baptist. We were named that because we used to, our forefathers, when people were saved in the Catholic Church, they would rebaptize them, okay? Because sprinkling as a baby is not scriptural baptism. And they were called the Anabaptists or the Rebaptizers. Later on, they dropped the Anna and were just known as the Baptists. But as Baptists today, we trace our roots all the way back to the early church in the book of Acts, all the way back to the New Testament to Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you're saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Number 9, the Holy Spirit, our holy guest that we're talking about tonight. Man, this is a good one too. They're all good, amen. I've said that about every one of them, amen. He intercedes. Man, this is good. Romans 8:26. Listen to this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Aren't you thankful for that, amen? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit's there to help with your infirmities? By the way, you know what? We all have infirmities, don't we?
Yes, sir.
And whether or not we voice them, whether or not people know about them, we all have infirmities. Hey, guess who's there to help intercede with that? The Holy Spirit. Guess who's there to help with that? The Holy Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's a good statement, isn't it? Now, many times in our prayers, we're selfish in our prayers. Now, by the way, you study the Bible, there is a biblical way of how to pray. Biblical way. It's not sometimes what we think it is. All right? There's a biblical way to do it. And sometimes, guess what? We mess it up, don't we? Or we don't know exactly how we should pray. But thank goodness you got there someone that's going to help you. But the Spirit itself maketh groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, sometimes you can't even express what's going on in your heart, can you? You can't even bring it to words. You don't even know what to say. You ever been to a place in a time in your life where you just didn't know exactly what to say? Well, hey, that's okay. You don't have to voice it. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is there to help intercede in those times in your life. Hey, folks, if you haven't figured out, God's for us, amen? He's for us. He wants us to succeed. He gave us His Spirit to indwell us and live inside of us. Number 10, the Holy Spirit forbids. Acts 16, verse 6 and 7. Now, when they had gone throughout Phygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mygdala, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. You see, the Holy Spirit forbade them to go to certain places. Now, by the way, they were going there with good intention, weren't they? They were going to preach the gospel. But yet the Holy Spirit said, whoa, wait a minute. That's not my plan for you at this time. And you know what? As Christians, we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit because He may forbid us to do certain things. Hey, this whole church plant thing didn't just originate 2 years ago. This has been in a pastor's heart for about the last 10 years. But you know what? The Holy Spirit never gave liberty to step forward and go forward with that plan. He forbade the plan to happen until His timing was right. And the Holy Spirit will forbid us to do certain things. By the way, some things, obviously, sinful things. Amen? All right, by the way, the Holy Spirit shouldn't have to tell you not to do something sinful if the Bible says it's sinful. How many times have people say to me, well, I just don't feel the Holy Spirit talking to me about that. Well, guess what? He's not going to talk to you about it if the Bible clearly says not to do it. Okay? I'm talking about here things that may be good, things that may be right, things that you may have good intentions about. That's why you got to listen to the Holy Spirit, because He may forbid you to do something. Okay? By the way, are you starting to figure out tonight that you need the Holy Spirit in your life? That you need to be close to Him in your life? Okay? Because what would have happened here if the men in the book of Acts weren't filled with the Holy Ghost and would have gone to some place the Holy Ghost forbidden them to go to? You know what? I promise you this, it wouldn't have turned out the way it did. Okay? And for whatever reason, He forbade them to do that. And so, listen, the Holy Spirit is still doing that today. Okay? That's why you got to be tender to His leading. Number 11, He gives life. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. That word quickeneth means to make alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. Hey, we could stop there and preach a while, couldn't we? The flesh profiteth nothing. We need some more of that preaching, amen, of how nothing that our flesh profiteth. Man, we're all about our flesh, aren't we? All of us are. Come on now, church. It's a stinking daily battle with your flesh. Let me tell you, one of the things I'm most looking forward to heaven about is not dealing with this stinking flesh anymore. I hate my flesh. I hate it. I hate the things it wants to do sometimes. I hate the stinking thoughts that goes through its head sometimes. I hate the flesh. You know what we've got to do? We've got to crucify. That's why Paul said he died daily. What did he die daily to? His stinking wicked flesh. And we all got stinking wicked flesh, folks. Yes, we do. All right, yes, we do. It's the Spirit that maketh alive. Okay? Here's what else the verse goes on to say. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Let me just say this. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Give life. Okay? That's what He wants to, number one, give us eternal life. Praise the Lord. Amen? But He's not done there. He doesn't just want you to have eternal life. He wants you to have abundant life. Okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't want you just to exist through life. He wants you to live life to its fullest through His fullness. And He's there to give you life. Yes, He is. Amen? And I know, I'm not down on the fact that there's some bad days we got to face. There's some dark valleys we got to traverse through. Okay? But let me just say this, Christian. God doesn't want you walking around with a scowl on your face all the time. That's not the sign of a Spirit-filled Christian who the Holy Spirit gives life to. Okay? So that's what He does. He gives life. Number 12, we need this one. He convicts. Hey, aren't you thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit? By the way, if you want, and we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, if you want His comfort, if you want His power, guess what comes along with that? His conviction. You can't have part of it, okay? If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to get it all. Amen? And part of that is conviction. By the way, if we're ever living in a day and age where we need conviction, it's this day and age. We need conviction. Yes, we do. You know why people aren't really technically being saved in these new evangelical feel-good churches? Okay, they might be praying to a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of the Bible. I'll just tell you that. It might even sound like it is, but if there's no conviction, there's no conversion. And you can't have conviction if you don't have a leather lung preaching man of God, preach the Word of God, and preach about our stinking wicked sin. You'll never have conviction if sin's not preached about. And by the way, you know who does the convicting? The Holy Spirit does the convicting. Have you felt His conviction before? Oh boy, I know I have. I hope I never stop feeling His conviction. John 16:7-8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. By the way, Jesus says, hey, you want to hear some truth? Here's some truth. Okay? It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. To fall, his conviction needs to fall. Amen? By the way, you know why there used to be great revivals in yesteryear? You know why? Because people were more sensitive to the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. That's why. I mean, the preacher didn't have to get up and tell a bunch of funny stories and, you know, cute outlines and all this other stuff. The preacher get up, simply most of the time, read the Word of God, start preaching the Word of God, and conviction would fall. Where's that kind of conviction at in 2016? Amen? We need it. Not only does he convict, we need this one too. He comforts. John 14:26. By the way, we've been reading this. Have you noticed his name that Jesus kept using over and over? All right. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. All right. That's what Jesus said. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And there's a lot of references to the Holy Spirit when Jesus first introduces him as the Comforter. And by the way, we need that. Amen. We need his comfort. There's a lot of people tonight that we mentioned in prayer requests. You know what? They need the Comforter. Sister Tina right now needs the Comforter. Brother Joe in the hospital needs the Comforter. All right? The Camden family, they need the Comforter. Brother Dave Ross needs a Comforter. By the way, if you're here tonight, there you have problems that maybe some people don't even know about. You know what you need? You need the Comforter. Amen? Hey, you don't need Dr. Phil. Okay? You don't need a new prescription. You need the Comforter. But the problem is, the reason we don't access the Comforter, because we don't want his conviction, and we've quenched him, we don't listen to him. And by the way, you can't have the comfort if you don't have the conviction, amen? And we've shut him out for so long that we only want him when we need him. But hey, guess what? The Holy Spirit's not a spare tire. You don't just pull him out when you need him. You got to keep him in your life. You got to cultivate your relationship with him. All right? But praise the Lord, he comforts. Number 14, he regenerates. I like this. John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." To be born of the Spirit is to be born of God or born from above. Hey, you know what this is? It's regeneration. That's what salvation is. It's regenerated. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen? He is highly involved in the conversion process. The Holy Spirit of God is. Yes, he is. Amen? And he's there. And the Bible clearly says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Being born again, he regenerates. Number 15, he empowers. Man, now we're getting to the good ones. Amen? He empowers. Acts 1:8. They're all good. Amen. I just like them all. If you haven't figured it out, I just like it all. Amen. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the uttermost part of the earth. That word power, you look it up in the Greek, it's the word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite from. And here's what the Bible literally is saying here. But ye shall receive dynamite power is what you're going to receive. When will you receive that? When the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Let me tell you what we need to do, the work of God. We need the power of God. We need the power of God. If we're going to work our bus routes effectively, you know what you got to have, bus captains? You got to have the power of God. If you're going to teach that Sunday school class effectively, you know what you got to have? You got to have the power of God. If I'm going to preach a sermon, if I'm going to build a church, you know what I've got to have? I got to have the power of God. By the way, it's available if we'll pay the price for it. It's available. Guess where it comes from? It comes from the Holy Spirit, amen? He's there to help you. I mean, you ought to get into a habit in everything you do. Holy Spirit, please help me. Please empower me. Fill me with your power, Holy Spirit. By the way, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not a matter of you getting more of the Holy Spirit. You've got all you're going to get, amen? Okay, by the way, the Holy Spirit's not a liquid, okay? He's not some, you know, mysterious, white, misty cloud. It's not who he is. He's a person that lives inside of you, all right? You're not going to get more of him. Let me tell you what happens. He gets more of you, amen? And when he gets all of you that he can get, and you're surrendered to him, guess what? His power will fall. And let me tell you what we need to stand for God in this stinking wicked world we're living in. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Amen. How do spiritual things happen? They happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. How do those divine appointments, how do you make those divine appointments? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I think it was Brother Angel when he preached here a few years ago. I'll never forget this illustration. He talked about having a vacuum and taking that vacuum and just running it as hard as you could across the floor. I mean, you were getting into it. Your arms were getting into it. Your body, you were starting to break up a sweat. But how good would it do if the vacuum wasn't plugged into the wall? Amen. It would be just useless motions. And why in the world would we try to live this Christian life without being plugged into the power source? Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. And last of all tonight, number 16, he bears witness. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hey, let me tell you how I know I'm saved. Okay, let me tell you how. Above all, the overwhelming evidence that I know I'm saved because I know the Holy Spirit's living inside of me. That's how. Amen. That's how I know I'm saved. Okay? There was a time in my teenage years where I doubted my salvation a little bit. And I finally came to the realization, you know why I doubted? It wasn't because I didn't get saved on September the 13th, 1989. I knew I got saved that day. You know why? Because I was away from God. That's why. I was rebellious. I wasn't reading the Bible the way I should have. I didn't have any kind of prayer life. My relationship with the Holy Spirit was cold. And when it was cold, guess what? I didn't hear him bearing witness to my heart that I was the Son of God. That I was one of the sons of God. Let me tell you one of the benefits, again, of having a right relationship with the Holy Spirit. Guess what? You know that you're saved. Amen? I have no doubt about it. You know why? Because I know the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. I know he does. You know why? Because I can feel him. I feel him right now. I feel him. I feel him burning inside of me. Amen? And so I wish we had more. All right, I just got through not even half my notes tonight, but we're going to stop. And that is the work that the Holy Spirit does. That's who he is. That's the personal actions of our holy guest. That's why God gave him to us to accomplish those things. Now, that was quite a list of things, wasn't it? Okay? By the way, let me just say this, all right? I don't want to overcomplicate. I want to leave it with some personal application, all right? Wherever you're at in your relationship with the Holy Spirit, just work on making it better, amen? Work on making it better. My wife and I this Thursday will celebrate 16 years of marriage, okay? You know why we've stayed married for 16 years? Because she hasn't killed me yet. That's why, all right? Okay? You know, I was pretty foolish not that long ago. She wanted to get her handgun permit, so I taught her how to shoot and bought her a handgun. Oh, my goodness, that was dumb of me, all right? But, hey, you know why? Because we continually, every day, work on our relationship. Every day, work on it, okay? By the way, your relationship with the Holy Spirit is no different than any other relationship. It's got to be worked on. And if you do something stupid, okay, sinful, get it right with the Holy Spirit. Hey, Holy Spirit, guess what I did today? Yes, and name it. Call it. If we confess our sin, amen? He knows what it is anyway. Just say it. Say it out loud, all right? Holy Spirit, I did this today. I thought this about that person. It was a sinful thought. Holy Spirit, I want to have a good relationship with you. Would you please forgive me of that so that our relationship can be what it ought to be? Listen, work on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Wherever you're at, work on that relationship, amen? Decide that a week from now you're going to have a better relationship with the Holy Spirit than you did today. And by the way, you keep doing that day after day, guess what? The days will turn into weeks, the weeks will turn into months, the months will turn into years, and the Holy Spirit will be there to help you, and you'll accomplish things you never thought possible. Why? Because you developed the right relationship with the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, I could talk all night, Lord, about this, and I kind of get excited and fired up about it because, Lord, it's such a real thing. And Holy Spirit, thank you for being who you are as we went down through that list tonight and talked about all those things that you do. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord. God, I pray that you'd help me. Holy Spirit, I just want to say publicly tonight that I want my relationship to be what it ought to be with you. And Lord, I know that it's not always what it ought to be. And Holy Spirit, I want to work on that. And I want your power to, and I need your power to be able to do what you call me to do, Lord. And you know what? So do the folks tonight. Lord, if Blessed Hope Baptist Church is going to be what it ought to be, we need to have the right relationship with you, Holy Spirit. So help us to do that. whatever's keeping us from doing that, please help us to be able to lay that aside so that we can have that right relationship with you. I pray that you'd bless this invitation tonight. Whatever it is that we need to let you do in our hearts and lives, may we do it. And we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.